never the same. Jesus, I'm never the
You know, we got a lot to be thankful for because, you know, I'll be out and I'll be trying to reach people and share with them, and I'm doing things to try to reach out and alert people to what's about to happen. They have no idea. You know, you are blessed because I meet people every week. Some say Christians. I don't question that. I pray over that. And they have no clue. How do you be a Christian and did not know Jesus was coming back? He said I was coming back. He said it. Amen. Throughout the four Gospels, he said, I will return unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. And they don't know it, which tells me they haven't even read the four Gospels. That's sad. Christians don't read God's word. You know, once God gave me an enlightenment that he is, once he filled me with his spirit, I couldn't deny it. I sat out, I went and bought a $2 Bible. It used to cost $2 back then. American Revised Standard, which really helped because the King James English can kind of get you tripped up. And I read that whole thing in the Bible. I took about 3 months to read the whole thing. And you know what I realized right off the bat? I could not rely totally on men to tell me the whole truth. Because a lot of things I had heard through my life, I did not see in the Word. You know, I saw people and things. I didn't see no denominations. And it amazed me. And then I began to do even more research and find out how all this stuff came to pass. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to come before you. Hallelujah. You said that we could boldly come before your throne to obtain mercy and find grace, amen, to help in our time of need. You got us covered. You knew we would need you, amen. We just the ones that had to learn that. And so, Father, we thank you that you have been so kind and so merciful and gracious unto us, even when we didn't know you, as your word says, Lord, when we were your enemies. Hallelujah, you sent your son to die for us, amen, to provide us the opportunity. And Father God, we're trying to give revelation as to what this is all about. And to do so, we ask that you would give us the intelligence of your wisdom concerning your word in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask that you bless all our understanding. Bless the eyes of all of our understanding so that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory and inheritance that you have in us, your saints, that great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us who will submit and obey you. Father God, we ask right now that you bless us with the knowledge of your will for this hour and what's coming. Give us the strength and courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, right now I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's sad. It's something, though, but listen, saints, especially you new saints, listen, learn how to pray. Learn how to go before God. Start out just talking to God. I started out just talking to God, and then, you know, back then we didn't have all these medias to access. We had books. I know y'all know what those are. And you had to go and seek them out. We had to go. I made my way to the Bible bookstore. You know, I would walk in there. Dude, they got to know me. See, and I mean, I went in there. And you look for books that you need to know. Don't worry about, like, back then, even now, I'm not worried about all the prophecies that are manifesting. And they are manifesting by the day. God is showing signs and wonders as he said he would, because he's intent that we be prepared. You know, I was just sharing with somebody that God has not appointed us to wrath. Where they at, they're being taught that we'll have to go through the tribulation. I told them, well, you can go ahead. I'm leaving. Amen. God, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, God has not appointed us to wrath. He didn't send Jesus to die for me to go through. Jesus went through it all. I don't need, but people want to feel, you know, if you want to feel your contribution to or say thanks to God and show your appreciation, pray for somebody to get saved. That's the number one issue on God's heart. Nothing tops that. Salvation of man. You got to understand, you got to keep going back and get this puzzle. Okay, he created us. He knew. He didn't create it. He did not create Adam with a flaw, but he knew it was going to happen. God is omniscient. There's no way he did not know. It was like, wow, that didn't go right. No, he knew that because Adam is not God. The one thing God demands is accountability to him. He is God. That's what he expected. But Adam first sinned, okay? God expected Adam, like, Lord, I have sinned, to do with this. See, David had learned by then. Yeah, learn. Don't play with God. Don't play him crazy. Don't act like he don't know. God was a step. Imagine that during that time. David didn't have internet. He didn't have media. They didn't even have electricity and power like we enjoy it now. They didn't even have a Bible. They had to cut out of the scripture. You know, the whole rolls was in the temple, and they had to trust the prophet to read it off and the priest and to teach them. They didn't have it. They had access to God, those that would kneel before him. See, and yet he lived a life to the degree that God called him a man after his own heart. Yeah, he made errors. Listen. Write this down. Man is cognition. Okay, he has limited knowledge. He has knowledge that God has revealed. He's co-omnipotent. He has limited power that God has allowed him, and he's co-omnipresent. You can't be everywhere at one time. The God is omniscient. He knows everything in all times, in any time, past, present, future. He knows it all. That's why he's the only one. That's why the Bible is the only book on the planet that's ever been written that has 100% accurately told the future. That's why we know what's going down. I just heard, I was listening to a teacher, and he said, God is outside of time. You have to be outside of time to be God. So all these other folk that have religion, when I asked them, what did they God say? Ask somebody, you mean a Buddhist? Well, Buddhists don't have a God. You mean, ask a Muslim. What did they God tell them to expect? See, they expect a Messiah type, okay, and that's going to be the Antichrist. Okay, they don't know it, but they'll know it then, maybe, hopefully. And they won't, it don't matter. He's going to be cutting off heads if you don't worship him, if they don't know what the first commandment is. But anyway, there will be people preaching the gospel. That's what the 144,000 will be preaching the gospel during that time. It will be sealed. That's in the book of Revelation. Read the whole book. Read chapters 5 through 9, read the whole book. Okay? Forget it. Read the whole book. You'll see them in action. Amen. They'll be untouchable, the real untouchable. And then there'll be two other untouchable individuals in, I believe, in Revelation chapter 11. You know, I mean, they're going to get killed, lay in the street for 3 days. And it said that every nation, every tongue, and every kindred, that means everybody on the planet, go see it. Now, that could not happen until they invented satellite television. See, we know that now. They didn't know that then. John wrote it down in 96 A.D. or thereabouts. You know, don't ask me what day of the week it was. John was sitting in the hot tub. Anyway, but, okay, so we know this thing. We knew there was going to be a cashless society. The president, Biden, had already signed it off on it. Executive Order 14067, Section 4. He authorized the Treasury Department to create a digital currency. And you know, I mean, there's just so many things that has happened and is happening, you know. My job is my pastor's job is. He doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about prophecy because his job is to make sure you die right. You know, Pastor O said last time I was visiting him, and He said that a lot of y'all are going to get raptured before the rapture. I mean, that's true. I'm in the process of making new friends. And for me, I have friends, associates, guys I know, but I don't know many people that roller skate, read the word, and like drag racing on the same package. You know, that's challenging, you know. So I find one that like this and one that like that. But anyway, so we're talking about power and love, which is another way of, this is what this life is about. God gave Adam power. Adam had authority over the earth, and he surrendered it to the other god, small g, called Satan. He was, you know, he had got, and you really have to, this is an area you have, that's, I had to ask God about it. I had to give up food for 20 days to get the answer, just to get the question. I put the question out, and then I went without food for 20 days. Well, not totally without food, but, you know, it's called the Daniel fast. Anyway, it wasn't fun, I'll tell you that. But that's the sacrifice. That's telling God you're serious about something. My pastor's been talking a lot about fasting lately, and that's unusual for him. But fasting, we are spirit. And your spirit autonomically is involved in all, everything going on with your body. So when you fast, your spirit don't have to be contending with the digestion process of food, and that gives you a little more juicing up. You have to try to understand it. But anyway, the point of the matter is, I humbly, very humbly, ask God, why you let the devil exist? I mean, the devil's a fool. Classic. He clearly. He got kicked out of heaven, Revelation chapter 12. Now, follow me, young people. This is why we know God was behind writing the Bible. That's not in the first chapter of the Bible. That's in the last book of the Bible, okay? Yeah, he got kicked out of heaven, got threw out, slammed to the earth, anyway, and then, no telling how long it was before God made Adam, and that he shows up in the garden. Nah, he's clearly up to no good. Look at the form he takes. And we all know snakes ain't about nothing. Now we know, because they didn't know back then. See, this is just my personal opinion right now. Write it down. It's just Rich's personal opinion. I think Adam regularly conversed with animals back then. Before he had sin, he had full cognizance of his mind. He had full access. He did not lose that until after the sin set in. Then he got dementia. So talking with the snake wasn't an uncommon thing. I really believe that. You know, otherwise, I believe Eve was like, dude, what is this talking to me? You know, she would have got with her husband. You show a snake to a woman now and see if she won't jump. Hallelujah. But anyway, all right. So he shows up in the garden. Now think about this. Now in Isaiah chapter 12, you know it's saying chapter 12, chapter 14, and started, I think, verse 12 to 15. You hear what Satan is thinking. Now this is going, now mind you, this is in the middle of the Bible. God that placed this. What he's thinking. Okay, then in Ezekiel 28 later on, which kind of really the same time frame, actually, in Ezekiel 28, you hear God getting ready to lay down the law against him, you know, condemning him, okay? So now then, later on, in the second chapter, in the third chapter of Genesis, he shows up and corrupts Adam and Eve. So now to get all those pieces together, first you got to read the whole Bible. Then you got to spend time with God to get the, see, when you read the whole Bible, you're just getting the pieces of the puzzle. Then you find in the corners that's God give them to you. This is why you, and y'all got to take the shortcut. They got books galore on it now. And pray. Never read the Bible without asking God for revelation. Never read a book about the Bible without asking God for revelation. Never watch even this video without asking God for revelation, because he will share more than what I'm saying. And what I'm, a lot of things we share today, we add commentary because God give us revelation that they didn't have in the Bible days. This is what church is about. You need to find a Bible-believing read in church. You go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't study the Bible. You got to study the Bible, not some book about the Bible. A book about the Bible will help you, should help you study the Bible, to help explain the Bible, not explain, you know, there are good books out there, but you want a book to it that's going to help you succeed. No, okay, so now let's read a scripture here. Back, boy, let's get this headline scripture, and that's in John 13:34, and I'm reading in the New King James Version. And it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, agapeo, the word love, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And I know that. That tells you right there. We're going to go to, you can get your finger over there in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start. We're going to spend some time in there probably over the next few weeks. Because think about this, what he's talking about. Now, people generally, when they hear the word love, they think on a real personal level, huggy, kissy, you know, I love you, and baby, and all that stuff. This is not what he's talking about. Then we talked about that. Matter of fact, amen, hallelujah. I'm following orders. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we get it. You know, this what I'm about to read should be the basis for all love, okay? It should be the basis for all love. It should be the foundation, okay? There are four types of love. Well, okay, I'm gonna teach you what I've been taught, all right? The number one is agape, which we're about to read the definition of. That's God, the God kind of love. The love that God expects us, that's how God operates. That's how he deals with us. Then there is eros, which most people know. That's the personal relationship between a man and a woman. And then there is storge, which is the relationship between you and your family. S-T-O-R-G-I. That's how that's spelled. Eros is E-R-O-S, by the way. And then there is phileo. P-H-I-L-E-O, okay, which is brotherly love. That's what you have toward your neighbor and people you meet and include into your little circle of life. All right. Now, but the foundation for any of them to have a lasting relationship has to be agape, which is why we are here to learn this. Think about it. We're going to be interacting with people forever. And God expects us to interact based on his idea of life, not ours. This association that people like to do, you know, like people like to isolate themselves. And I get that, because people can get on your nerve, and you treat them right, they'll treat you wrong. But guess what? If they do it to God, they'll do it to you. But now understand, they are people. And the difference is, as we go forward into when we go to the next level, we will be at what I call third gen man. And for some brand new people that I may be include watching this now or hearing this now, first gen man is from Genesis, when God created Adam, all the way up to Jesus coming is first gen man. Only the prophets, priests, and kings had the Holy Spirit of God up on them, all right? You will see that phrase that the Spirit of God throughout the Old Testament. Second gen men, however, is after Jesus' resurrection, he promised in John to send back the Holy Spirit, and that we are able to receive him because our spirit is draped in the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from our sin, to allow the Holy Spirit to be over us. It's like a two-layer person that shrouds us, that allows us to go before God. And that's more than a notion. Because in the Old Testament, only the high priest was able to go to the place directly before God, which was known as the Holy of Holies. We can go before the Holiest of Holies. I mean, you really got to, your mind got to, you got to let God in this area. And
okay. Minister Richard Overall has dropped out for a second. Probably had a little phone issue, and I'm sure he's going to be getting back in as any minute now. Until he does, I'll let this song play.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Okay, we're gonna go ahead and restart the show. Minister Richard Overall is here, and here he goes.
Amen. Amen. We had a little technical difficulty there. Hope y'all getting this, but anyway, if you happen to miss it, it will be on YouTube too under Our Overall Senior. It's Our Overall SR. But anyway, all right. I kind of lost my train of thought here. Well, anyway, we're talking about love. Oh, yeah, we were talking about third. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're talking about third gen man. Third gen man is the completed Christian. This is what you get in the Bible, the completed Christian. That's what this is all about. And again, you're talking about tremendous power. For instance, in John chapter 20, in verse 19, 26, and in Acts 8:39, you have an event that really is astounding when you think about it. And that is Jesus teleports. And then there it just reads that Jesus appeared. But see, we will all have that capability. In other words, all the energy they expend trying to go to the moon, you'll be able to get there at the speed of thought. And you cannot give that power to a person who does not walk in love according to God's word. That's what this life is about. You will get myriad of opportunities to walk, experience, whether to decide to operate in the love of God. When you operate in love, that's saying God is in control. I'm going to do it his way. This is why you learn to manage your ego. Well, men and women have them, okay? This is what this life is about. It's about where we going. You're not trying to be good to get into the kingdom. You're not trying to be good to get into heaven. Jesus fixed that part. You're showing God that you are going to cooperate and live as a kingdom citizen beginning now. Your eternity actually began the day you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not when you die. Okay? So this is what this is about. This is what all the challenge is about. This is what all the having to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, and I do have a series on that, explaining that. That's what it's about, because it is God's perception, God's psychology on these issues versus man. And God's word helps you to decide or know or discern whether it's God or the man. And people tend to, it's in our nature to tend to want to follow man, because man way allows the flesh to decide what will please the flesh. But you are a spirit. And you have a mind with an emotion. And you draped in flesh. So you cannot let it make decisions. Your flesh has no more sense than it had when you were born out of your mother's womb. It hasn't gained an ounce. It may have grown inside, but its ability to comprehend hasn't changed. Hasn't changed at all. So you can't let it rule, okay? You have to let the word of God rule. The problem has been, for the first part of history, most men, even the leaders, did not have a whole Bible, okay? We didn't get that for about 1,500 years. So God has extended a lot of latitude, which is another reason why you have to spend time with God and understanding where he changed, you must change. Even in the last, I've been a Christian for 45 years. 44 years ago, there are things we know and believe now that they did not know. I mean, it's a way of praying. We know now more about prayer, and it's always been in the Bible than they did now. The problem was they didn't read it, and they did not ask God about it. James 1:5, if any man lack the ability to properly apply the knowledge that's in the word of God, that's what he's talking about. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what James, who is the brother of, who is a maternal brother of Jesus by the blood of Mary, so is Jude. That's what he's talking about. Ask God. That's why I harp a lot about ask God about it. You know, God will talk to you. You have to give him time, okay? It ain't that he's busy. He's God. Like I said, when I asked God why he left the devil exist, it was almost three months before he started giving me the answer. And I mean, he's just like, okay, we're going to talk about this. Why? Because he's God. Okay? I mean, I really believe somebody should have wrote my book 500 years ago. I should have been born with that book in my hand. I should have known about it. I should know every aspect about it. The book covers marriage. You know, I mean, all that should have been. When I was 19, sadly, I had more than one marriage, and I asked, what is marriage? The pastor, her pastor, nobody gave me an answer. What is love? Nobody gave me an answer. Then when I read the Bible, I'm seeing it all in the Bible. I'm like, man, this is crazy. That really upset me, because it made my life more challenging. I mean, it's enough you have to deal with the knowledge of God. It's even harder. This is why God had me out rescuing people, because they've been hurt by life, and they don't know that it wasn't God. I have to, you know, recently, I mean, I had to explain to somebody, God didn't do that. The devil did that. The Uvalde children was killed by Satan, not God. It was not his will. But if the parents don't get the right knowledge, and you can't blame your pastor, because the Bible is available to anybody that asks, okay? But anyway, you know, I thank God for my pastor to make us go and read the word and see God. That's his primary objective, make sure we see God. Anyway, all right. So we're going to read, again, we're just going to review, run through this right quick so you'll get an understanding. What I want you to take note of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through, read the whole chapter and go through it with God. Because in verse 1, Paul wrote down, he didn't have to write down, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. Why would he add angels? Why would he add angels? He could have said tongues of many nations. Why would he add angels? But anyway, people don't even ask God about it. It's just somebody say, there's no more speaking in tongues. They believe him. I would ask him, like, God told you that? I'm telling you, I have shut down a whole lot of people with that simple statement. Because you'd be surprised. They have collars on and everything. I told the pastor nicely one day that he was prejudiced. I mean, plain and simple. And we were saying it wasn't about skin color issues. It was where his mind was because of how he had been raised. Listen, I was raised a different way. I was raised, my mother was one denomination, my father was another, and I chose just the word, period. Okay? And then come to find out, me and my grandfather was on the same page. So, amen. But see, that's the whole thing. He was deep in the word. That's why I get this anointing from. And that man, he gave me his, I didn't even know what a cow, I was amazed that they had books explaining the Bible back then when he was alive. But anyway, all right. Now listen at this. You know man ain't wrote this. And you know, ask somebody, does that make sense? Just show this to particularly a sinner and ask him, particularly one of them players, ask him, do this make sense? He said, love suffers long. I would say women know this and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. That's a message in and of itself. I'm going to have to get with that. But rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, according to the word of God, not just everything, okay? Believes all things in relation to God, hopes all things, endures all things, with the exception of a brutal relationship where there's violence. That is not telling you, they used to tell people that. No, listen, that's sin. If somebody beating on a woman these days, a woman beating on a man with a baseball bat, that's sin. That's violence, you know. Back in the day, they would have executed you anyway. He said, love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. We've seen that happen, you know, in the last election. I was wondering why people were saying that. Anyway, whether there are tongues, they will cease. That's when Jesus comes back. We won't even have to pray. Whether there is knowledge. Now, it's amazing people say tongues cease, but they don't say knowledge cease. And knowledge is growing at exponential rate right now. That's why we have AI. It will vanish away, okay? Because your mind then will be at 100%. It's at 15%. You get the other 85%. It's two times. You either die or you don't leave with the rapture. You get 100%. Anyway, when Jesus come back, sitting on the throne, ruling from Jerusalem, that's when you will have 100% of your mind. You'll be capable. That's what this has all been about. Think about it. Just do some thinking sometime. Look at how this is going. God could have gave Adam everything. Actually, he did give Adam everything. Even sharing with you right now, but Adam had to stop and get it from God. Get it, help him get a revelation of who he was. See, he didn't. You know, faith slipped up in there. You know, he made a decision. You make a decision. What they say, no decision is a decision. It ain't about religion. When Jesus come back, everything that you think, all this other stuff that people think is a religion, well, that's going to be eviscerated, done, boom, gone. There won't be no more issues of that, all right? All right, so now this here, one day I'm going to think, I do believe in this because I'm going to probably be on this to the rapture, which I think hope be next week. But anyway, but if you'll notice in there, it does not talk about emotions. So this is not talking about me and my wife. It's not talking about how we kiss and hug and how, you know, that type of love. But it is the foundation that keeps it together. This is where you get that phrase in a marriage ceremony, in sickness and in health. And a lot of people you see are now these days. This hour was reading this article with this lady. They was having this debate over this lady that found out her husband had cancer, and then she divorced him. See, it says in sick. This is where it comes from. because it's about you learning to let God use you to minister to someone. It's not about what you can get. You know something else I had thought of on today, and that was, I noticed on Facebook, you hear a lot about God blessing people. But you know what you probably rarely, if ever, see? People blessing God. Think about that. If you do Facebook and Twitter and all that, or X or whatever they call it these days, look how often you'll see people blessing God, praising God, thanking God, pursuing God's number one objective. They don't even talk about that. And then if you do that, you act like you're trying to be super religious, because they get convicted because they ain't doing what God. How is it that you're not blessing? How you not blessing the blesser? I don't get that. They always want, you know, I'm going to start posting pictures. I do a lot of driving around town because I do one of them whatever they call them, Uber. And I notice all the churches that are closed, the big churches closed. Well, you know what? That comes from not seeking God. That's the only reason that happened, all right? Because you know what? God, if you're seeking God, listen, I belong to a church. I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars it costs or what it costs. It's paid for. My pastor, we are a church. The church owns a jet. We used to own two. They're paid for. Now, for that to happen, you have to teach. You know, Pastor O teaches a class. It's called Faith and Finances. You teach people how to walk in what God has already provided. And they'll do that. Teach people how to access God. Now, to access God, your love walk to be in order. You can't be falling, left and tripping and all that stuff back and forth over issues. Now we're going to Ephesians and see what some of that is. Okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. See, people want God to bless whatever they come up with in their mind. Okay? And that ain't going to happen. Hey, you can't just live. It wouldn't make no sense. If God was going to let you live any old kind of way, I had to keep track of time, man. And I thank you. I want to take this because I keep forgetting. I want to thank all y'all that do attend and listen, because y'all draw this out. It just comes through me. Amen. And I've been noticing it comes through, and that's God. But y'all connect with God. I'm just a middle point. Anyway, Paul here is talking to a culture of people that were estranged from God. They did not know God. They were commonly called Gentiles. And you know what? Unless you do a DNA test nowadays, you can't just say you're a Gentile. Because I've been watching, I used to go through the videos of these people that do the 23andMe, and that Jew, when the children of Israel were scattered, they found there's a gene, they call it the Akhenazim Jew gene, and they find that thing crossed all kind of lines, because men, when they see a beautiful woman, they're like, hey, she's fine, you know, but without question. Now, you know, I'm not just your skin. Jesus' skin didn't save me. His blood saved me. So, you know, but anyway, when you did not know Jesus, maybe we should just read the scripture. But anyway, we're just going to read it. We're going to skip around this. We're going to go back and forth, so don't be tripping, all right? Because I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit direction on this. All right. So we're talking about power and love, okay? And God's given a power, and he's about to take us to a phenomenal level, and we're about to see some things. I expect an outburst of supernatural miracles. I mean miracles, you know, not just people with arthritis standing up straight. I'm talking about people that never stood up standing up. I expect a bum rush of miracles that have made it hard to argue that Jesus is alive. But now to do that, he has to have a clean vessel, mentally and physically, to work through. I mean, really, you really have to put things in order. I was sharing today with somebody about forgiveness. I've learned something new about forgiveness. I'm going to have to study it out even further. You know, versus telling somebody you apologize and them asking them to forgive you. You know, that's a clearing of the issue. Anyway, but that's another issue. So, now, this is Paul talking to the Ephesians. Now, anytime a person comes from the world into Christ, you're making a cultural change. You was raised one way, taught one way, taught yourself one way, believed yourself one way, but now you got to bring your mind, as it says in Romans, renew it. Amen. Romans chapter 12. And then now make yourself, your spirit conform to the will, the direct intent of God. And that is not easy all the time, okay? But God demands that because the more, but look at this. When you, as you do it, he will give you more revelation about what this is about and more opportunity to use it. You know, I don't get to see all the results all the time of the people that I pray for and lay hands on. I wish I could. But I tell them, I try to make some contact with them. You know, and if you do that, if you're going to let God use you like that, make some cards, get some business cards, go to Vistaprint, have some business cards, put your church address on there. Don't put your address and phone number on there. And put a little, I have a prayer of salvation on the other side. And it says, you have been invited by, you know, Brother Richard Overall. And look for them to come and share their testimony. Amen. Because see, then it'll really be encouraging when you lay hands on somebody and God delivered them. See, because it's between God and you just a middle point. But, you know, just like I heard somebody, I can't remember, I hear so many priests, they was talking about the water hose, you can turn the power on, but if there's a kink in the hose, the water won't come out the other end. Don't be a kink. That's a new word. Anyway, well, the word ain't new, but that's a new T-shirt phrase for somebody. Don't be a kink. All right. Paul, in the fourth chapter, verse 1, he said, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and just as you were called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and you all. All right. Yeah, we're going to spend some time in Ephesians, Jack. Because love is what, you know, I believe for John's anointing, because that's what it's all about. Now, isn't that what Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you? Now, he had told in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that about love, that what he talks about in Matthew 22:37-39, love God with all your heart, mind, mind, and soul, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. So apparently, now we get to where Satan comes into the picture. You know, remember we read in Zechariah chapter 3:2, where Joshua the high priest was before the Lord, anointed man of God, and Satan at his right side ready to resist. So, but again, the determining factor is whose report you're going to believe. See, this is what this is about. So you get into these decision-making situations, and it's challenging. Because it often will involve you managing how your ego has effect on you. See, you gotta put that thing into subjection. Because because when this occurs, something is if God is always planning the blessing. Your blessings are flowing through. The blessings have been laid out. They're already set up. You know, we just stepping in just like we walking out. God, our salvation, just like we just seeing a manifestation of what God saw a long time ago. Well, see, it's already there. The things that you have
put before God to receive. You're allowed to do that. You know, I'm making some changes on some scheduled things that I want. You know, if Jesus tarried, then I really was rather, at least, you know, went on the boat for a short while before the rapture. But, you know, I mean, I know I had one after, you know, that's a whole different level. But anyway, so this is what this is about. Note he's talking about this. This applies today. This applies at all time. Now, again, when Paul wrote this, there wasn't no Dixon Bible bookstore around. There wasn't no Facebook. There wasn't no downloadable Bible. So everybody didn't have it. So people, they did the opposite of that. That's what they were. They culturally, they would have been, you think of the nastiest places that you can think of. I mean, filthy in mind and, you know, I mean, sexually in every kind of way. That's what it was like. Okay, think about it. You know, I know a city, I ain't gonna name it, they had the biggest sex club in the world, you know, where people go in and just be nasty. You know, men with women, women with women, men and on, and you go in there with your wife, she's fair game for anybody, man, woman, or whatever. See, God sees all this stuff. But see, now, back then, that was common in their culture. The Corinthians, it was common in their culture. The Thessalonians, that was common. Why? Because there was no rule of God in their life. See, and with us, I mean, before I got delivered, man, if God hadn't delivered me, I was being led into some devious stuff, man. I mean, it was crazy. And then you throw drugs in, whatever little morals you had, drugs wipes that out. That's why you see this increase of the use of narcotics. That's now not only that, it ain't what we smoked back in the 70s. This stuff is really demonic. They pumping it up. It's 10 times. If what we had back then made us stupid, this stuff here is what making people act so weird. If you don't have no foundation, if you don't have the word as a foundation, and you start smoking that stuff, you're going to be way out there because, see, you're interacting with spirits. If it wasn't intelligent beings, you really don't understand what we're dealing with. See, Satan knows this. He's been at this for thousands of years. He has an IQ of 3,500. He just has zero wisdom, okay? And if you follow him, that makes you a dummy. I mean, really. And that's why this is written. Now, the fact that I have, this is, now listen, he says to beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. When you receive Christ, you receive dominant power. You no longer have an excuse to say the flesh, you couldn't control the flesh. You can't. You can't say that. The Holy Spirit is dominating. Satan can't possess. A demon can't possess a Christian. He can aggravate you. Okay, he can oppress your flesh, your mind. He can say stuff to you. He can't make you do anything, you know. And we're going to probably pick up on that tomorrow. So I really want you to get this, because as we now are in a time where there are many cultures coming into America that are trying to bring those demons in with them. You know, that, believe it or not, that's one reason why they're so concerned about the borders, because them people bringing them spirits with them. But guess what? You know, I heard this minister talk about this East Indian Swami or something, anyway, famous for doing miracles, right? And then he came here to America probably a short time ago, and he got in. He could not perform one miracle. Why? That demon that was with him, once he crossed into our airspace, the angels that surround America that y'all be praying for all the time, see, that's how powerful we are. When he got here, he couldn't do one miracle. He went back confused. Because, see, America's a different place. So I'm not against, I believe there should be a proper processing for these immigrants, but we have the full unadulterated gospel here, and that's why I believe God is bringing them here. We just have to pray for them to get it done the right way, pray for them to for God to supply the resources and the personnel to get it done the right way and quickly. So they want to come here. We have the reigning power. We have the reigning power. And once they get drenched in the Holy Spirit, God is setting up totally Spanish churches so that they can get the full on a day to work. The reason they come in here, because where they weren't getting the word fully unadulterated. This is why we have a church down in Brazil, right? But they're doing it like the Romans, going in there and occupying. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, hey, man, we didn't come close to, yeah, we didn't come down to another end. But and we're going to pick up right here, Ephesians chapter 4 and 1, because, again, it's about right now. Just know this. I mean, you have the reigning power. And see, you don't have to wait till next week. You can get with God because you want to know what your authority is. You really do. There's lots of information out there. This ain't like it was when I was starting out. It's just, I didn't even, you know, I had a simple question of, you know, like, how do you date a woman? What do you do, you know? When somebody told me, say, you date them the same way you do in the world, except you don't lie. That it kind of shocked me. I'm like, oh, I got to tell the truth. But amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But that's what this is about. See, this is what Paul is talking about right here. This is what this life is about. Why? Because it's to get you to the place where God can reveal more. And when we get to the next level, third level, see, God is not going to let us go to the third level if we don't make an effort to submit to him. That's what this is about. This is about submission. It's about submission. It's about submission to God. And I don't care what nobody else thinks. You know, I've gone through the criticism of people who say, yeah, you ain't got nothing. You ain't had a Bible. I'm like, right. I ain't got nothing if I don't have the word of God. If I don't have God, I ain't got nothing. You ain't either. But one thing about it, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm confident. I don't think. I don't hope. I know. I'm totally sure. Absolutely. 1,000%. 10,000%. Absolutely sure. No doubt in my mind whatsoever. Because Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. But anyway, then left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. We need to make a new song. Hey, when he raps, can rap that. Look that song up. Anyway, but, so, this may have been, you may have come to this through some way. I may have just met you. You may have just tuned this in. You may have been flipping through YouTube. You may have been flipping through the radio, and you come across this message, and you're wondering, like, wow. And I understand. When you're on the outside looking in, you want to know, how do we know there's a God that we can't see? Well, we see with a different set of eyes called the eye of the spirit. The spirit is a being, not a mentality. It's a being. It's a level of consciousness that the basic human mind can't comprehend. And God will allow you access to it. But now, understand, to get into the presence of God, you must be cleansed. And there's only one process through that, and that is through the blood of his son, which was shed, Jesus Christ. And it's a simple process. It's the simplest of the process. And I can tell you, if you start this journey, you don't quit, you will succeed. So it begins like this. Lord God in heaven, I do not understand all this, but I'm going to step out on faith and believe you. I'm going to believe the word that we were all born in sin and that you sent your son to die for our sin. And I believe that he was resurrected and is alive now. And right now, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and I am born again and I am restored. It's that simple. I know, you know, it's amazing that people, when you meet them and you tell them it's that simple, I'm like, yeah, they didn't have nothing to do about going to church. People go to church and go to hell. But they never asked Jesus to come into their life. They just went and sat down in the church. That right there is also what makes you born again. Born again. And God has forgiven all your sin. Man may remember it, okay? That ain't going to make them forget, maybe. But God doesn't. You won't have to stand. When we stand before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, that's where Christians go, they will be presented, but Jesus answers for them. I don't have to pay for them. If I had to pay for all my sin, I would make people suicidal. I would be, because it would be hopeless. I mean, if I just had to account for a sin that I did since I've been saved, I would be hopeless. But I'm not. I am happy, and I am totally confident in God's word. And I can tell you, if you spend time with God, talk to him, praise him, learn some praise songs, learn, sing to him. You will feel his presence. Read his word, and he will talk to you. Amen. He will confirm what preachers say, what teachers say. Okay? Amen. This is a lovely life. Hallelujah. I'm looking for my button here. All right. And know this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week if the rapture don't come.
Welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who
calls on him.
Hey, welcome
to the church house. God could take your hurt out. Let him take your dirt out. Everything gon' work out. Why you asking questions, baby? Blessings stacked on blessings, baby. I'ma give my best to the day. God take all of my breath, look, baby. I'm with all my Houston brothers. It's my kingdom music, brother. God placed you in leadership. You better not go abuse it, brother. Celebrate the next man. When you do, make sure your motives are pure. If you can't celebrate the next man, boy, you never get yours. Yeah. Hop out of traffic. You can have it if it's time to go. I cast that devil out. You hater, what you hiding for? If you ain't rhyming for the kingdom, why you rhyming then? That cat rap, you just lying then. But step aside and look like a minion. Welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
I feel it in my bones while approaching the throne. Head and feet is where I've grown, never marching alone. I'm a soldier, scripture quoting, Bible toting, Jesus promoting, disciple coaching. My whole demeanor was hopeless, but now I'm a leader focused. Might as well be eating honey and locusts. Rocking camel skin the way I preach and repent. The kingdom of God's at hand, baptizing family and friends. Even dumped some former enemies in the water. My way's clearly pleasing the Father. I'm talking Proverbs 16:7. Some call me pastor, others know me as their street reverend. Been loving Christ since I was at least 7. Ran like the prodigal, but his pa gave me new life, no
C-section. Hey, welcome to the church house. 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 Welcome to the church house. Welcome to the church house.
Hey,
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you want a man? He took the punishment of man, he let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Look what God did in my life, I'm a walking testimony. I be shedding tears of joy because he blew his breath up on me. Ministry get busy, but I'm staying at your feet. I'm trusting in your will, I know you want the best for me. I'm bearing fruit till he pruned the branch, and I bear some more while I spirit dance. Put my life up in his hands and abide in you, this God's plan. Soldier walking with generals on front line, we fighting. My mind right, my heart pure, that oil flowing inside me. And yeah, my faith get tested still, but I know it's alright. That gon' give my God a chance to show out in my life. When you at the bottom, ain't nowhere to look but up. And we gon' give him glory. Hey, yo, welcome to the church.
Welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house.
And welcome to the church house, welcome to the church house, welcome to the church house.
I feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you wanna mend? You took the punishment of many, let it fall on him. He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.
Yeah, welcome to the church, we got open arms, you can take a seat.
You good right here.
This is where it's love, spiritually it's good, you can feel the peace.
Feel it.
Gave his only son, put him on the cross, just for you and me.
You and me.
Think about his great sight, shed his blood for every human being.
Come on.
I know you won't heal it, life is trouble, you're sick of the pain. Come here, let me take you to Jesus, I promise you, he'll make you whole again. His choice is free indeed, and he believes in open doors.
Yeah.
He give you eternal life, take away your eternal scars. Disciples walk with you, you become part of the body.
Yeah.
Shoulders to lean on, keep you encouraged on this journey. If you hungry, we'll feed you. This is daily bread, the living water, you never thirst again.
And welcome to the church house. And welcome to the church house. And welcome to the church house. Hey, welcome to the church house, welcome to the church house, welcome to the church house.
I can feel it in my soul when I'm walking in. Open up, I've been knocking, don't you wanna mend? You took the punishment of many, let it fall on him.
He gives eternal life to everyone who calls on him.